Good morning. Don't be distracted by my pile here. We'll get to that pile in a minute. Part of that pile is the Word of God. And if you have one of these, get it ready. If you don't have one of these, there's Pew Bibles, and you can find one of those. But we're going to navigate our way around God's Word some today. And we've often heard it said that God speaks in mysterious ways. And today's message I'll be sharing began to take shape about 2 weeks ago as I was plodding along behind my snowblower. It was dark. It was 6 degrees outside and the wind was blowing. I had no idea then that Pastor Darren was not going to be able to be here today, because that was my plan. Darren was going to be here today. I had no idea that he'd be called away to a funeral. So I had no idea that the thoughts that were taking shape as I plodded along behind my snowblower, I had no idea that I'd be sharing this with anyone soon, especially you folks. God works in mysterious ways. God had me pondering His Word as I suffered in the cold, but today, in the comfort of OACC, we're going to continue to read and ponder and examine Scripture. So again, I ask you to have your Bible ready, because those of you that know me understand that my protocol is no screen. I just don't know how to do that. So, it's gone. Now, that's what works for me. A few weeks ago, though, Pastor Darren stated that he was making a case for a change. He was making a case for a change. He had been revealing God's Word to us. He will continue to reveal God's Word to us. And He has challenged us to continually read and study the Bible. Read and study the Bible so that we can know God better, so that we can understand God better, so that we can participate in a deeper relationship with Him. You cannot do those things. Darren has challenged us and said in his case for making a change, you cannot do those things without getting into God's Word regularly. Last week, Josh Parsons laid out God's Word before us, and he asked, am I allowing the Spirit to challenge me? And Josh also reminded us of a principle that is found in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Whether we're paying attention or not, we need to understand that every week we come here, not just today, this message isn't just about what I am about to share with you today, but every week we come here, God is challenging you. God is making a case for a change. God is asking you to be a doer of His Word. So today, in the spirit of making a case for change and exhorting each of us to be doers of the Word, we'll continue to read God's Word. We'll study it. We'll consider allowing the Spirit to challenge all of us. And then perhaps through the strength that we find in Christ, we'd allow the Spirit to challenge us to step outside of our comfort zones. Sometimes when the Spirit challenges us, He takes us, or He's asking to take us, to places that we may not want to go. We may not be comfortable at all going there. But that's the nature of God. When God challenges us, He's usually not asking to take us somewhere where we're comfortable going. He wants to stretch us and grow us. Let's begin this morning in our Bibles. Now's the time. And we're going to go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And I got to jump on you because I got slips of paper ripped up in mine. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to begin by reading verses 12 and 13. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Paul continues on in the rest of chapter 12, and he talks more about this one body. And to paraphrase him a little bit, I mean, you know, he's telling us that the nose all by itself doesn't work so well. You know, the tongue all by itself doesn't work so well. We kind of need both to really taste our food, don't we? The mouth, for example, all by itself is a dangerous thing. So God gives us a brain also. And hopefully if the two are working in harmony with each other, you know, good things will come out of the mouth. But we know that if the brain's not connected to the mouth, yeah, Bill's got that. He understands. Yeah. So we're all made up of, you know, our body. And when Paul speaks of the body, he's talking about us. He's talking about us as the church of Jesus Christ. We're many parts. We're all different. Sometimes we're very different. But we're all necessary. We all make up the one body, serving one God and being challenged by one Spirit. And we'll continue in 1 Corinthians 12, later on in verse 24, the second half of 24, I'll begin and read till verse 27. It says, "But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. None. But its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." Scripture is saying to us that we need to have a concern for each other. We need to protect one another. Scripture also says that that we need to be concerned for each other for a good reason. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. I give you a moment to get there, because it's important. It has a lot to do with this church as one body. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Scripture says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world. I'm going to grant myself permission to insert a word here, not just throughout the world, but that includes throughout this church body. You know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. We're all in it together, or we should be. There's a danger. There's a danger in going it alone. Now, one of the things that was revealed to me when I'm plodding along behind my snowblower in the dark, 6 degrees, the wind blowing, was that I needed to protect these four fingers, and these four also. Thumbs, they kind of have to survive on their own. Have these work gloves. I started out with these. And they're good gloves. Spent a lot of money for these gloves at Record Building Supply. They say ironclad on them. I mean, they got to be a good work glove if they say ironclad on them. But I put these gloves on, and I get behind that snowblower. I got four fingers, and they're all standing by themselves. And I tell you, it didn't take long. These four fingers are cold. These four fingers are going to get dangerously cold soon. So this pair of gloves went back to the work truck. But, you know, I'm a man, and I figure things out, you know, pretty quick. I just go get me another pair of gloves. These cost even more money. They're heavy. They're leather. They got nice, soft, fuzzy lining inside of them. Man, I've got it licked now. 6 degrees, dark, the wind's blowing, I don't care. I got it licked because these gloves, you can see, these gloves, these are warm, aren't they? You can tell. The eight fingers are still standing by themselves. Now, this might work on some days. We might stand by ourselves some days and get by with it for a little while, but not always. It wasn't long, my fingers got cold again. I said, man, we've got to come up with a better plan than this. My mittens. Actually, they're my wife's mittens. She lets me use them. I put these mittens on. They weigh half of what those gloves weigh. But my fingers are where? They're all together. There is protection and there is warmth by my fingers being all together. Now, this glove's got a big gaping hole in it. Now, the illustration that I share with you, that is, it just reminds us that even though God wants us together, there's safety in numbers, there's safety in looking out for each other and being concerned for each other and protecting each other. That's pretty obvious. That's not rocket science either. But what this mitten showed me was that, you know, we don't have to be perfect. This mitten is still doing its job, even though it's got a hole in it. None of us. We don't have to be perfect to look out for each other. Take care of each other. Make sense? Yes. Romans chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Romans chapter 12. verses 4 through 10. I want to read 4 through 10 for us. And it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere and hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Get in the mitten. Get out of the glove and get in the mitten. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is trying to show us that each member of this family belongs to one another. It says so, right in God's word. Each member of the family belongs to one another. Scripture says so. Scripture also says that we are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. How do we do that? If we continue on a week-to-week basis, week after week after week, how do we do that if we're not making an effort to get to know each other more? How can we be devoted to one another in brotherly love if we're not making an effort to develop relationships? Pastor Darren has been pounding on this theme and pounding on it. And will continue to pound on it today. The importance of developing relationships. Right here, within this family. How can we be devoted to one another in brotherly love if we're not encouraging one another or protecting one another? Sometimes that involves taking a risk. And not all of us are comfortable being risk takers. But with permission, I want to share with you another illustration of the importance in the blessings that God provides if we're willing to take a risk. There was a time that a family lived over here in this pastorage before Pastor Darren and Kim and the family. And I didn't have a clue who they were. I couldn't have told you their names if you'd asked me. And I was elder of the church and elder. And eventually, I finally disciplined myself to figure out, oh, that's a couple and a family, you know, and it's Al and Lynn Thorpe, and I couldn't remember the kids' names if I depended on it. But I eventually learned that Al and Lynn and Tristan and Casey lived over in that house over there. And then I went to Mexico with Lynn, among others. Still didn't know her. While we were there, she took the risk. And I have no idea at all what prompted her or what gave her the courage to say what she said. But she said something like this, and I have to paraphrase her because I didn't have her on recording. She caught me off guard. She says, I used to think that you were above me I used to think that you were unapproachable. That was the beginning of a conversation, you know, that we continue to have as we get to know each other in a group setting playing cards. Now, there are some that think there's no good that can come from playing cards. But Howie Mundy will disagree with you, because we've seen good come of it. And I share with you today that good came from this card game. Lynn took a risk. From that, we began to get to know each other. And from that, you know, we began to share, and she would share things. And then that led to my getting to know Al a little bit. And that helped me to also remember the kids' names, Tristan and Casey. And we would share. We continue to share. They've been reading a book, and we've been talking about the book that they've been reading and how they're using that book. And I've been able to encourage, you know, them in some small way. Keep it up, because you're doing a good job. It's just the beginning. I hope that, you know, I'll get to know them better, but, you know, that's just a neat thing. That's the neat thing about taking a risk. And it shows you the importance of why we need to get to know each other. This morning, a beautiful lady walked in, and I go, "Oh my, I forgot her name." And if you, how many of you can feel my pain, huh? So with my wife's prompting, I got up and went and admitted, "I forgot your name. I'm Jeff. How are you this morning?" And Kathleen reminded me of her name, and we had a nice conversation, and I know a little bit more of her story. It's important. But on my part, I had to suck it up and admit to somebody that I forgot your name. But I know I don't struggle in this alone. Every single person here can look around, and you're going to find somebody, you don't know their name. I know it. I know. This passage in Romans also says that we all have gifts. Every one of you. God doesn't say some of you. God says all of us. All of us that know Jesus Christ and have invited him into our hearts, and we allow our lives to be guided by the Holy Spirit, God says we all have gifts. Don't sell yourself short. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies because we sell ourselves short. And we say, "Oh, no, not me. I God hasn't gifted me in any way. Certainly not in any way that I'm aware of or that I can see." Sometimes gifts are difficult to discern. They may not be, your gift may not be readily identifiable by you. I've seen this and I've experienced this. And what happens in a case like that is that God will reveal the gifts to us if we continue to pray to him about that, but also he will reveal sometimes our gifts through the eyes and the wisdom of others. Others will recognize your gift, and they will come to you and say, "You know, you were really gifted in whatever." My encouragement for you is don't discount that. Don't brush that aside. That may be the Holy Spirit challenging you to step out of your comfort zone. Don't be in denial. God has given you a gift. As Joshua exhorted us last week, be a doer of his word. take what God has given us and run with it. Make a case for a change. Because if you make a case for a change within you, eventually it's going to make a change in others around you. Ephesians 4. We're going to move on. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And I want to read all the way down through to the end of verse 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and blown there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Paul his exhortation here encourages us to be engaged in efforts that do a number of things. There's a lot being said in this scripture, and as you do your homework this week, and I know you all will, you'll see much more of what Paul is trying to tell you here than I can share with you. And the time that I've got, I've still got plenty of time. I got lots of time. I got to slow down here. He encourages us to grow up in Christ, to help us to become more mature in our faith. One of the neatest conversations I've had in the last 2 weeks I had with a new believer. And the new believer admitted, one, that, I'm new to this. There's a lot that I don't know. But he knew that he wanted to know it. And he knew that he had to seek it. And he had a plan. He had it all figured out by himself. That if he participated in a study of God's word with some more mature believers, that he would grow in Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to teach us. We need to grow in Christ, and we need to figure it out. We need to figure out and come up with a plan that answers the question, how am I going to accomplish this? So easy to plod through 7 days in a week and not have a plan. And what happens when we do that? You pick your Bible up on Sunday morning and realize, gosh, it's right where it was when I got home from church last Sunday. Has that ever happened to anybody but me? Nope. Yeah, you put your hands up. I want to see some hands here. Here we go, yeah. So I'm not the only one that laid my Bible down as a result of not having a plan, and then next Sunday I know right where to find it, if my memory doesn't fail me. Are you scolding him or telling him he should have put his hand up? In Ephesians 4, Paul also exhorts us to build each other up and protect one another. And we talked a little bit about that earlier. Stand alone, and it isn't going to work. We're going to get cold. We're going to be in danger. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be as comfortable. There's a lot of things we could say about standing alone. Paul's reminding us in Ephesians 4 that we need to get the mittens out and huddle together with each other. We need to build each other up and protect one another. We need to build unity among us regarding the faith and knowledge that we have in God. We need to demonstrate being a doer of the word. We need to demonstrate being a doer of the word. And that's going to encompass a lot of things. Worship team, you can come up. Most of the scripture that we studied today represents a God-inspired and a spirit-guided exhortation from the Apostle Paul. An exhortation, as defined by Webster, is language that is intended to incite and emphatically encourage someone. My prayer has been, Warren Fouchette, he's here somewhere, he always watching me. You know, Warren says he always knows if I don't know a song that Peter's sharing with us, because he sees me praying. And because that's often what I do. I just don't make the effort to learn a new song, so I'll just use that time to pray. One of the things that I'm praying for is that God has used his word, or will use his word today, to incite and emphatically encourage every one of us. That prayer has already been prayed today. It will be prayed again and again and again. We need to remember that we are one body. We need to get to know each other. We need to learn how to be one. We need to learn how to love each other. We need to crawl into the mitten together. We need to strive to make a case for a change. Each and every one of us. Imagine the power of God that would be unleashed. If every single person here, I don't care how old you are, Pat Valley, or any of the rest of you, or how young you are, if every single one of us strived every day to make a case for a change, if we were doers of the word, and if we allowed the Holy Spirit to challenge us. As we contemplate the spiritual challenges and life challenges, sometimes they're just life challenges, or life has a way of doing that. As we contemplate those challenges, remember others that have gone before us, such as the shepherd boy David, when he went to Saul and said, "Send me before the Philistines." Remember the likes of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who we talked about in a men's group this morning, who had the courage to stand up to Adolf Hitler as a Christian man. Repeat these words in your life as you're reading God's word, as you feel the Spirit tugging at you and challenging you and asking you to go outside of your comfort zone. Keep reminding yourself that I can do this. I can't change the world, but I can change that which is staring me right in the face. Step up to the challenge. Step up to the challenge and not away from it. big difference. Peter? Every now and then I have to stop and collect my emotions and squeeze my fingers and say, I can do this. Al and Lynn, Tristan, Casey, thank you. Kathleen, thank you. Bob, thank you. We all get comfortable saying, oh, God, bless me this week. He did this and this and that and whatever, and that's true. But God has blessed me. In sharing with you, God has blessed me in ways beyond what I deserve. By no undertakings of my own, He has enabled me to get to know some people I didn't know and get to know their stories and share with them. What a blessing. God can do that for all of us. We just need to get in the mitten. And remember that the mitten can have a hole in it. It doesn't have to be perfect. God knows who we are. He knew who Moses was and David. They weren't perfect either. Allow God to bless you by taking you outside of your comfort zone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we stand before you, Lord. We bow before you. We bow down, Lord, because you received each and every one of us with your arms open wide. And you loved us in spite of who we were. And you washed our sins white with your blood that ran red. And Lord, my prayer again is that each and every one of us here today, and even those that are not here, but they're perhaps listening on our church website, I pray, Lord, that they will be encouraged and uplifted by your word. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will crawl into the mitten and that we will work together, not as individuals, but we will work together to make a case for a change. Lord, I pray that we will work together to be doers of the word. I pray, Lord, that we will work together as we comfort and encourage and protect one another. Lord, I pray these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.